In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it tells us that there was a scribe that came to Jesus, and it says, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving what he had answered them, that he had answered them well, asked him, what is the first commandment of all? And in verse 29, Jesus answered him and says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, when the first part of that, when he mentions our heart and soul and mind, those are all parts of our inner man. And we have to love God with all of those parts of our inner man that he mentions there. The last part, though, where he says, and with all your strength. Now, there he's speaking about with to whatever capacity or degree that is within us, that we have to have a love for God with all of our strength in order to obey what Jesus calls the greatest commandment. Now, this leads into a study and of what we're going to be, or at least what we're going to be studying this morning, a word in the New Testament that we read about a lot that's actually a command of God. When we look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, and it's not hard at all to see a relationship between this and that great commandment that Jesus was teaching there in Mark 12. But Romans chapter 12 verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That word fervent is, it's a Greek word, it's zeo. It's from the word, the root word from which we have the Greek word zelos, which is zealous. Our English word zealous is a transliteration of that Greek word. But it's root, the word that's used here, that tells us to be fervent in spirit. That's the root word of our word zeal. And it literally means to be hot. So God is commanding us to be hot, and that's in a positive sense, for us to be hot towards doing what is good in our spirit. Well, that's where we're to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind. That is our spirit. But here again, we see the degree and how to do that with all of our strength. Or here he says to be fervent in it, or to be literally to be hot in that in our service to God and serving the Lord. And that's really what zeal is. And that's what we're going to be studying about this particular morning. And in the scriptures, we have several examples where he uses that same word. And also in the Old Testament, we have a real advantage here. Sometimes Hebrew is a little bit difficult to grab hold of when you're looking at definitions, because it's a different type of a language, more of a picture language, than the precision of the Greek language that the New Testament is written in. So sometimes it's a little harder if you're looking up in a Hebrew word to see the range of meanings there and to really get a hold of that. At least for me, it can be pretty challenging. But in this case, when we have a Hebrew word that is translated by the Holy Spirit himself into Greek, that makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? Because then we know whatever the Greek word is also what the Hebrew word pertain to. We have such a case in Psalm 69 verse 9 with a prophecy of Christ where he says, the zeal of your house has eaten me up. And that's quoted in John chapter 2. And this is something, a particular situation or example that we want to look at later on in our lesson, our study this morning. But it's the word zeal. It is that word zealous, zelos in Greek, that's in John chapter 2 about Jesus. But there's a Hebrew word that was in the prophecy of that particular situation that was in the Psalms. So that tells us whatever Hebrew word was there is what the Holy Spirit translates to be the word zealous in the Greek language. And it's kind of interesting to see the root of that Hebrew word that is really the common word for jealousy. But of course, that's in the negative sense. But we'll take the time to look at some Old Testament examples where this word that comes from the word to be hot, well, it can be hot in a wrong way against someone, which is what jealousy or envy really is. But in this case, it's when we are to have a zeal for a heat for serving God. We have several that we have these words used for, Old and New Testament. For example, in the Old Testament, Phinehas in Numbers chapter 25, verses 11 through 13, after he had killed fornicators of the Israelites in this particular chapter, and it stopped a plague against Israel at this time. And this is all going back to Balaam's efforts to have the children of Israel cursed by God. And this is what he taught Balak to do, and it worked. He couldn't curse them with his mouth, but he did have them cursed by having them taken in idolatry and wickedness, these things that they were doing here. The plague killed 24,000 in verse 9. And in verse 10 says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel." Well, here was someone that God used that same word for, that later he made a prophecy of what Jesus would do. Jesus, in his zeal for God, but he says Phinehas had it. He had a zeal for God, and he acted upon that, or with that zeal, in serving the Lord and keeping his commandments. Another Old Testament example where he uses this same word is Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 10, where Elijah speaks up for himself and about his zeal for God and what that had led to as far as his earthly circumstances. He said, "I've been very jealous," and that word jealous is that word zeal. That's the same word that we were just reading about concerning Phinehas, but here it's on behalf of God. He says, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." This is when he was on the run for his life. But he says, "It's because of the zeal I've had for you, Lord." Now, God agrees with the fact that Elijah had this zeal, because he quotes this passage in the New Testament in Romans chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. So God quotes this, and what he was saying about himself there and his zeal for the Lord was an accurate description. Now, where he was inaccurate was that he thought he was the only one. And God pointed out later in this very chapter that he had some others. In fact, in verse 18, he said he had 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal. So there were still some in Israel that Elijah didn't know about, but he certainly was one that had a zeal for God, and that zeal for the Lord, for Jehovah, led to what kind of circumstances for him? He was on the run for his life, but we see that God pointed him out as another one that had a zeal for God. And this is good, just like with Phinehas. In the New Testament, Acts 18 and verse 25, that same word that we were looking at in Romans 12, 11, where he gives that command for us to be fervent in spirit, that's the exact phrase that he uses in describing Apollos, that he was fervent in spirit. So he was another one that had a zeal for God. So we have several in Scripture that are pointed out and singled out as examples of their zeal for the Lord. And this is a good thing. Zeal is necessary. It's commanded by God. We have the examples that we've just looked at, and those are ones that stand out because he uses the very word to describe who they were and what they were doing for God. But we need to have a zeal for God like they did. Now, what would be the opposite what would be the absence of zeal? Since zeal really comes from that word to be hot, what would it mean to have no zeal? What would we be? Well, we would either be cold, in which case, would we even be a Christian? Very unlikely. What about Christians who are Christians but have no zeal? There's a word that he uses for that in Revelation chapter 3. For the church at Laodicea, they were lacking in zeal, and they were described as being lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 19. And we'll see what the Lord thinks of his people when they have no zeal. He says, "I would that you were hot." Well, that's that word hot, fervent. That's what the command is for us to be in Romans 12, 11. It's the same word, but it's translated hot here in this very passage. But they were not hot. They had no zeal. They weren't cold either, because they said they believed in Jesus. They had obeyed the gospel and become Christians. But now they were Christians without zeal. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They were lukewarm. And here's how he's describing them in verses 14 to 19 here of Revelation 3. It says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So part of the repentance was what he commands them to do, to be zealous. What did they not have? They didn't have zeal. They were not hot. In fact, that cold would really be a negative zeal. Would God prefer us to just be lukewarm? Or did he say, I'd rather you at least have zeal for something than to be like you are and to be not cold or hot? He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. And he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. So they were commanded to have the zeal that they were lacking in as Christians. As Christians, do we want to be like the Laodiceans? Do we want to be sitting here lukewarm, or do we want to obey the commandment of God and be like Phinehas and be like Elijah and be like Apollos and those other righteous ones who had a zeal, had that heat for serving the Lord? Well, that's what we need to be. And I know we've all seen, and that's one of the things that's very enjoyable to see in a new Christian. Most people at that moment when they obey the gospel, would we say they're on fire at that point? On fire for the Lord and wanting to do his will? Well, that's generally what we see, is we should. But we shouldn't lose that. And really, that being on fire, that's what zeal means. We need to maintain that. We don't want to lose that. We don't want to gradually become lukewarm and lose that fire, that heat, that zeal that we had to serve the Lord. We've got to maintain that. In fact, it should grow stronger. That's the great commandment. We need to love God with all of our strength. The Lord hates it when his people are lukewarm. Now, zeal can be the wrong kind, and we don't want to have that. We need to be aware of what a wrong kind of zeal is. Just being on fire and having a zeal for God alone by itself, is that necessarily good and right? Well, we need to have zeal, but it needs to be the right kind of zeal. What's the wrong kind? Well, we can see in Romans chapter 10, 1 through 3, a description of the Israelites in the New Testament time, in Paul's time, after Christ had come. How had they responded to Jesus, by and large? Now, of course, there were those who became his disciples. What about the leaders of the nation? How many of them had turned to Christ? In fact, those are words that came out of their own mouths in condemning themselves when Jesus was doing his mighty works and many were turning to him. And they said, look among us and see how many of us have believed. And they were taking that as, look how great we are. We've not been fooled by this man. Sadly, they were condemning themselves because they hadn't believed when the people who saw his works did believe. But these leaders of the Jews, they were not believers in Christ. They had rejected him. Now, were they lacking in any zeal for God and many of the people of Israel? No. In Romans 10, 1 through 3, it says, brethren, my heart's desire. This is what Paul says about his own people, being a Jew himself. But he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, did they have zeal? And did they have zeal for God? Were they cold or were they hot? They were hot. In a sense, you might say it was cold because it was misguided, but they had zeal of God. And he says, I bear them record. I testify they did. In fact, Paul said that about himself. He used the same word for himself in Acts 22 in verses 3 through 5 when he was testifying before his people a little bit after the writing of the book of Romans. He went to Jerusalem to try to save his people. And he told them, he said, I was zealous of the law as you are. I had that same zeal like you did. I was once like you were, having this zeal of God, but at that time, it was not according to knowledge either. Paul said the same thing in Galatians 1, 13 and 14, when he said how he was zealous of the law. And Philippians 3, verse 6 said the same thing about his zeal for the law. So there were several times where Paul talked about the own zeal that he had before he became a Christian, just like these Israelites that he's speaking of here in Romans 10, and that he was desiring to see saved. Will zeal alone save a person, a zeal for God? If all it takes is believing in God and having zeal for him, why would he say then my desire and prayers that they would be saved? Now, the way a lot of people teach it, you'd think they already were, wouldn't you? They believed in God and they had a zeal of God. Now, how many people believe that's really all you got to have? Even that much. But was that enough? Did they believe in the right God? They believed in Jehovah. They didn't believe in his son. They had a zeal for him, but that zeal was not according to knowledge, and they were not obeying him. They were not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. And I know on Wednesday nights we've been studying about that in Philippians chapter 3. That righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ, he tells us in Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. That's where we find it revealed. We have to learn that righteousness of God that's been revealed in the New Testament by the gospel of Christ. That's the knowledge we have to have. And then we have to demonstrate our faith in what we know by obeying that gospel and submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God, keeping the commandments of Christ, the New Testament. That's part of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. We have to baptize, make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Well, we all have to obey what he's commanded us, submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. And we need to do that with zeal. But that's the knowledge we have, and it has to be carried forth into action and obedience, submission to the righteousness of God. So just having zeal alone without knowledge and without obedience to the commandments of the Lord, that kind of zeal is not going to save us. We need to have zeal that's according to knowledge and in submission to the commandments of God. How many people are zealous for their religious errors? Well, we read about it here in Romans 10. Paul dealt with it in that time. What about today? Do we see any people on fire for their beliefs, their religious beliefs, yet they're the wrong ones? The zeal is okay if it were God, if it were according to knowledge and in submission to God's will, it'd be good. But when that zeal is misguided, not according to knowledge and not obeying the Lord, that zeal is not going to save them either. It's interesting to read in Galatians chapter 3, as Paul was raising a question about ones who had come in among the brethren here in the churches of Galatia. And these were people who were Jews, obviously, who had a zeal still for that law of Moses, to the point, even though some of them were Christians, they were now trying to bring into the church the doctrine that said the Gentile Christians had to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. And that was error. In fact, in chapter 1 of Galatians, he said it was called removing them from Christ as they followed that false doctrine. And he asked the question in Galatians 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Who has done this to you? Who has bewitched you? Who has caused you to no longer obey the truth that you were following before? That was a serious question. Well, in chapter 4, he mentions their zeal that these false teachers had that were subverting them. In verses 16 through 18, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Well, how were they responding to the correction he was giving them? When they weren't doing right and he pointed it out, did they like hearing it? Or were they turning against the one who had converted them and who loved them enough that he was pointing out the error that they were following now, trying to save them from it? So he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And he says, they, speaking obviously of these ones he was referring to in chapter 3, verse 1, who had bewitched them to not obey the truth any longer, who had subverted them with their false doctrine, he says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. See, when our zeal is connected to what is good, submitting to the righteousness of God, is that a good thing? Yes. But what about this zeal for error? Well, here again, he's pointing out some ones who had come into the church, ones he also described in chapter 2. He called them false brethren in verse 4 of chapter 2, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Did they have a zeal for that error they were bringing in? He says they're zealously affecting you. He's using that word. They had a zeal for their error, and they were leading them astray. So we could look at lots of examples of this when people have a zeal for error, religious error, false doctrine. And the zeal, when it's going that pathway, is not good. Zeal in a good thing, he says, is good when it's, according to knowledge, submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. So we need to have the right kind of zeal. Another wrong kind goes back to that, as we see the word, and I mentioned how the word is most often translated in the Old Testament, and it's also translated this way in the New Testament quite a bit, as envy or jealousy. That's the same word zeal, but there it's in a negative sense, the wrong kind of zeal, not when it's being on fire for being hot towards serving the Lord. But what about when you have heat against someone else? And that's really what the word means, when you're hot against somebody, not necessarily anger, although that typically goes with it too. But here it's in the sense of jealousy, when you have envy towards somebody and you're going to work against somebody else, another person or your brother, because of this, some feeling you have against them, something you're envious of regarding them. And that's what the word envy is. So that would be obviously a negative or the wrong kind of zeal, because it is that word for zeal, but it's against someone, not for the Lord. Well, he commands us not to have that in Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Well, that word envying is the word zeal. So we've looked at in the same book, in the chapter before, in chapter 12, verse 11, when he says to be fervent in spirit, where he commands us to have zeal. The next chapter, he tells us not to. But it's obvious there's a discernment that has to take place in the right kind or the wrong kind. Zeal for God according to knowledge, submitting to his righteousness? Yes, we're commanded to have that. Having a zeal against another person or against our brother in Christ, being hot against them, he commands us not to do that, not to have envying among us. It's a work of the flesh, Galatians 5 and verse 20. It's the same word, but it's translated emulations when he talks about the works of the flesh in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit, but he used that word emulations. That's that word zealous, but in that negative sense as envyings. King Saul had that. The word is used about him in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 2 when he destroyed the Gibeonites, the ones that Israel had a covenant with, that they were required by God to keep and protect, even though going back to the time of Joshua, they'd been deceived by those people, but they'd made a league with them that they would protect them, and they were bound to that covenant. And it says that King Saul was zealous for the people of Israel. So that was his problem. In that kind of case, it was a misguided zeal, and it was directed here against those Gibeonites. He was on behalf of the people against those people and killed them. But that was not for the Lord. That was the wrong kind. And we see plenty of examples of that kind of evil described in Scripture that others had. For example, in Acts 5 verse 17, the high priest and his people that were the Sadducees, the leaders of the Jews, were against the apostles, starting with Peter and John after they had healed the lame man in chapter 3. And then they were brought before the council in chapter 4, commanded not to teach or preach anymore in the name of Jesus, which they cheerfully disobeyed that commandment of them of theirs, because that would be disobeying God. And then the rest of the apostles continued to teach in the name of Christ. And it tells us that the high priest and those who were with him, which were of the Pharisees, they were filled with, it says, indignation. That word indignation is that word, that heat or zeal. but it's in the sense of against these brethren who were doing what was right before God. It was directed against other people. And so that was wrong. Same thing in, as concerning the Jews who were in Antioch and Pisidia in Acts chapter 13 and verse 45. It uses that same word and says they were filled with envy. And it uses the word envy there. Same word. So, of course, that's the wrong kind. That was directed against Paul and these ones who were preaching the truth, Paul and Barnabas, and against the Christians there. Same thing with the unbelieving Jews in Thessalonica in Acts 17, verse 5, who were filled with envy. So we see that word used over and over again. Obviously, the wrong kind of zeal. It's a part of the, not just one of the works of the flesh, but it is a characteristic of those who are fleshly, who are carnal. The Corinthians had this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, and they were rebuked for it. But it says in that verse, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Do we see this kind of negative zeal, envy, among Christians sometimes? Yes, unfortunately, we see that kind of behavior, particularly among those who are newer Christians, and they still have some of these fleshly things in them. It's got to be purged out, though. And he says that they were not spiritual. They were fleshly because they had this among them. Well, in chapter 13 of the book of 1 Corinthians in verse 4, the love of God doesn't have this. He says, "Charity or love suffers long and is kind, envies not." So it doesn't have this kind of zeal against another person that is envy. That's not part of the love of God. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, it was a problem again. He mentions there that was still among the Corinthians, and Paul was going to come and deal with it if they didn't repent. Would like for us to go to James chapter 3 very quickly and look at verses 13 through 18 as he makes a contrast between this wisdom that is from above, from God, and this wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish that includes this wrong kind of zeal or envy. James 3, 13 through 18, he says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That word envying, envy or envying, that is used there several times is that same word. So that's the wrong kind of zeal when it's against another person. We can't have envying among us. We've got to purge that out. So we can't have zeal that is without knowledge and not in submission to the righteousness of God. We can't have zeal that is envy towards somebody else. That's all the wrong kind. Zeal is necessary, but it's got to be the right kind. So we need to understand what is the right zeal and the kinds of things as Christians we need to be zealous for. And we're going to let that be next Sunday morning's lesson, Lord willing. So stay tuned for part two, the grand finale of this study. If you can be back for that next week, we'd appreciate that. But it'd be good for us to take our time to go through that, because there are a lot of good scriptures that teach us particular things that we need to have a zeal for in our service to God. And we want to be aware of those things and make sure that we have all of that in us so that we are pleasing to our Lord and having the kind of zeal that He commands us to have as His people. Tonight, or this morning, hopefully it won't happen again. Well, if we're here tonight, we'll say the same thing. But if this applies to you now, don't make us have to say it again tonight about you, okay? So if you're not a Christian right now, don't still be not a Christian tonight. In fact, don't be not a Christian here in the next 15, 20 minutes. We can take care of this right now. That's what we're having the invitation for. So if you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, maybe you've had a zeal for something that's wrong. Maybe you've had a zeal that's not according to knowledge, and now you know what the truth is and that you have to submit yourselves to the righteousness of God. You need to have that zeal for God according to knowledge. If you do and you're ready to repent of your sins and obey the gospel of Christ and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, then you can become a Christian. Your zeal can be for God. You can be on fire for Him and remain that way and continue to keep His commandments and grow more in Him as you now run the Christian race. So if you need to do that this morning, we're encouraging you to do that. And don't put it off till tonight or even later this afternoon. If you need to do this now, please do it right now. If you're a Christian, if you've lost your zeal, if you've been lukewarm and you need to repent of that, or if you've become zealous for wrong things or become envious or whatever it is that is keeping you out of harmony with God's will, you have an opportunity to make things right with Him this morning also. Anyone that needs to obey the gospel and respond to the Lord's invitation or come back to the Lord if you've wandered from Him, please respond right now and come forward while we stand and sing.